I'll light the candle as we switch the candle thing. Here we go. And so now we begin in this space of prayer. We now open our ritual as we begin this sacred process individually and collectively.
So in Romans 12-2, it says, be ye transformed by the renewal of your mind. We've upgraded that into the 21st century, call it change your thinking, change your life. But learning how to harness the power of your mind and to promote growth is a difficult task. You kind of have to kind of build with it. Our lives are not necessarily our belief system. Our genetic makeup doesn't come with a predestined belief system. Now, our soul is a different story, but our physical genetic doesn't come with that. Mahatma Gandhi, in looking at this whole thing, said this. He said, your beliefs become your thoughts, and your thoughts become your words, and your words become your actions, and your actions become your habits, and your habits become your values, and your values become your character. It all starts with the beliefs. So the experience life that we want to experience individually and be in the driver's seat, so to speak, we need to examine those beliefs and see which ones serve us and which ones don't. If they don't serve us, then we need to reframe them or eliminate them, one of the two. The symbolism of the burning bowl is that as we identify those things that don't work for us, is the transformational power of fire. Fire's been used for years since the first caveman figured out what it was to make it a transformational situation, to burn away old and start anew, to create light where there was darkness. Be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. So we have kind of three states as we move around the world. Or I got our conscious self, we got our subconscious self, then we have our unconscious self. But we live and move and have our being within spirit. And that's what they call superconscious or cosmic consciousness or divine mind, whatever you want to call it. And it's not unlike a computer. So we got our conscious state. That's our keyboard. That's our monitor. That's the data that's coming in from our five senses. So we get to mess with that as it comes in. Then our subconscious is like RAM. We call it random access memory. That's where all your programs are stored, that when you need to call up Word, it shows up. Or you need to Google something, you can access it. And that's also where your filters are, because we can choose what we're gonna access or how we're gonna do it. Then there's the unconscious mind, and that's like our hard drive. So if I was in local government, so we had these public records requests all the time, and we were always cleaning off our computers. I mean, that was just what we did. Because you've got so much stuff in them, or the servers, but it never goes away. The stuff called metadata, and unless you destroy the hard drive, that metadata sits in there for the life of that computer until that hard drive is destroyed, until that server drive is destroyed. And oftentimes we would get requests not for the data, but for the metadata, particularly when it was a court case going on or something like that. Because they wanted to see What were those emails that were being sent that got erased? So just remember that none of your emails are erased, by the way, even if you delete them. They take them out of the RAM. They take them out of our consciousness, but they don't take them out of the subconscious or the unconscious. But the good news, all of that is driven by one power and one presence, spirit, God, whatever you want to call that. So we move in this dualism, if you will. We got the physical body and all of the things that go through our head. And then we got the spiritual being that is part of our physical body in a real sense. And then all the stuff that goes through our head as well. So what drives our computer is the life force that's driving us every single day. So the good news is we get to control our computer. We get to decide what those emails are going to be. And we're really in control. So when you think about, okay, why isn't this working for me? Is there some underlying belief, some underlying cause that may have cropped up that's embedded way down deep? You may not even be aware of it, that is running things. We also talk about when you're a kid and the singing, that's a good one. My mom, bless her soul. This is the first anniversary of me without my mom in physical form. So I learned how to play guitar. And when I discovered when I was walking around with my guitar, people expected me to play it and play it like a virtuoso. You know, I mean, really, really play it. I'm just trying to learn chords. And the reason I carried it around is because my fingers hurt so bad. I wanted to keep moving them on the strings so it would toughen them up. After I figured out how to get the chords work, excuse me, then people expect you to not only play your guitar, but sing. Well, that wasn't exactly what I had in mind. So I was invited by my cousin to sing at her wedding, to play an opening song for him for the wedding. And Kim, you know, emailed, she was from Florida, and she says, could you sing at our wedding? I said, I would love to. And I said, what do you want to do? And she said, well, I'm not sure. And so I came up with a couple songs, and I recorded them, sent it to her, and said, this is what I can do. You know, it's not going to be complicated. You know. And through the grapevine, I hear that my mom and my mom goes, what? You're not going to have David sing at your wedding. Have you heard him? Hey, I'm in my 50s or 60s at that time. So, you know, as we go through life, those little things show up, right? So I'm not adequate enough, can't do well enough, I can't draw off, whatever it might be. We get start out on a blank slate. You know, we come into the world, we got nothing on our, you know, nothing. We just got all these five senses and all this information coming at us. And we figure out that if I make a certain kind of noise, I get a certain kind of response. If I make more noise, I get more response. And those things start building. And we start building a picture of this place that we have. Then we start figuring out a little bit more, and we get wheels so we can walk around. Now we can see a bigger piece of the puzzle. And we start learning more and more things, and people start talking with us, and we start understanding the communication. And pretty soon, we start building our little egos. You know, so we got our little, this is me kind of thing. And it works really well as a defensive mechanism. Some people need to be tougher, and some need to want to be bigger and more loving, but your ego starts getting built. And over time, all of the input from all of those years create you and I as we sit here today. It's all based on our past. All of the stuff that came in, from all the people and all the places, all the experiences, all the heartaches, all the joy, everything built it to we're right here. And it's all sitting here and through our bodies. How that works for us can be really good or not so good or doesn't work at all. So you think about, okay, so what have I got to do? What's my part in it? Well, Spirit gave us free will and choice. We always have, we always have a place of choice. No matter what we do, we can choose how we want to respond to it. If we're in a situation, we can choose to forgive and we let go. We can choose to resist. We have all these choices, but it is our choice. And how we pull those choices together, create our values, our assumptions, our attitudes, and our beliefs. So if I believe something and somebody's counter to that, I have a choice to resist them, to question them. I could do all sorts of things. It's like a camera. A camera receives light through an aperture. So the smaller the aperture, the less light. The bigger the aperture, the more light. It's like your eyeball. So if you're a sunny day, your pupils are real small. On a dark day, your pupils are bigger. How big is your pupil as you walk through life, as you see the world? Do you see, as Spirit sees it, all the beauty of all of these individuals doing all these crazy things? Or do you see it from a different point of view? God does not know. I don't know what God knows. Let me rephrase that. But I think God, my perception of Spirit God is both personal and ethereal. So I see God as creating all this in love and then is there in love to love it forward. Love creation as it expands. Because God's always changing. It's always expanding. It's always evolving. So that's my belief. So if I believe that, then all of this, God's there right in the middle of the war of Ukraine. There's no doubt about it. Waiting for somebody to open up their heart. And enough hearts open up so that conflict goes away. But during that conflict, there are people individually that have their hearts open, that are working as little angels with skin on in the midst of all that conflict. So that's kind of how I see things go. So our behavior, our beliefs and our attitudes, our assumptions all create this thing that we get to do, and we get to use this power of Spirit to transform that in some fashion so that our lives are more joyful, more Spirit-filled, more. The Master tells us that be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, and he also says, and in this truth, you shall be set free. Oops, I didn't want to do your talk here, Pam. So, in a moment, I'm going to lead you through a meditation. And following the meditation, then we can write down on our little sheets those things that are holding you back from getting what you need. One of those, they're on that table back here. Thank you, Pam. So if you need a card and a little slip of paper,
it's a streak,
or a pencil or pen, raise your hand and we'll get one to you. Okay. Thank you, Vanna. Okay. So we're about to settle in for a meditation. We have a song with Trudy Diane and Glenn. I'm going to put you in at this moment if you would so kindly do so.
Oh, this road has been hard on my feet, on my heart, led me to the gates of hell. I know sorrow all too well. Lost my love to the wind. Left me half who I am. Heavy load, heaven knows I'm tired.
I give up, I give in.
That energy, I invite you to close your eyes. Take a couple deep breaths. Perhaps on the in-breaths, God is. And the out-breaths, I am. God is. Let's go on a little journey, a journey of this past year or so, A journey without judgment. A journey of discovery. What has worked for me this year? What didn't work? What would I like to do different? Do I have a reoccurring part of my life that I wish not to have? That I experience a disharmony in my life? With relationships, myself, others, my situation. What disharmony did I perceive? Did I feel discomfort physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually? What discomfort did I perceive? Did I experience lack? Lack of resources, abilities, health, relationships, opportunities? What sense of lack did I perceive? Did I experience fear? Fear of failure, of being inadequate, of uncertainty, of the unknown? Or did I experience just being stuck, mired in the confusion of which way to go, mired in the circumstances that stand in my way? And what is it that I believe of my life's circumstances that has kept me stuck? What are those attitudes, judgments, opinions that no longer serve me? In this quiet moment, we ask for your guidance, sweet spirit, on what or how to let go. What is it that I want to clear out, eliminate, or give away? What are those habits or dependencies or unhealthy boundaries or relationships that no longer serve my highest good? What are the unforgiveness or judgments that tether me to the past? What are those negative thoughts, negative thinking, and limited ideas about myself and my capabilities? In this moment, I release doubt and fear. I break free of my feelings of inadequacy or lack, and I shed the habit of criticizing myself. As I continue to release what no longer serves me. I make room for new circumstances, new opportunities, a new life. Be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Rest in this knowing. God is, I am. God is, I am. And take a couple more breaths. Now's the time to take out your paper, write down those thoughts that came forward. And when you're complete with that, just set your paper aside. Turn it upside down.
Created a void, a space that had something in it that we're finally ready to let go of. And what happens is that void, that space is created. But as the scientists have always said, nature abhors a vacuum. And so something will move in to fill that space. And if you doubt that, just think about the times you've emptied out a closet, a drawer, or a cabinet, and then you look at it a year later and it's filled with all kinds of stuff again. And that's because being embodied is experiencing life at all different levels. And so we're constantly gathering in experiences and tokens of those experiences. But with this ritual, you're consciously creating space at every level of being. Body, mind, heart, and soul, to create this beautiful void, a womb for something new to be born in. And all you have to do is, when you think about how do I do this, is to go back to the very beginning of the Hebrew scriptures. In the beginning, the world was without form and was void. And what's the first thing that happens? The divine chance, let there be light. Because everything we see is actually light. It's taken all of these different forms. A quantum physicist have proven what the spiritual masters knew all the way along. Is that everything comes from that divine field, that divine energy, by whatever name anyone may call it. And to create that void, we use what we call in unity denials. And then we do affirmations to fill the space. David helped take us through this release. And we now are ready for the embrace. And I've always loved something that came from the book Patterns of Self-Unfoldment. The use of denial and affirmation in positive thinking is not turning away from reality. It is rather the activity of seeing beyond false appearances to a higher perception of reality. It's shifting not what's in front of you, but how you perceive what's in front of you. And when you begin with let there be light, it means you're gifted with insight, with an ability to see where the next step is, with literally inspiration, illumination. All of those words are part of what you can do right now as you begin to manifest and record that which you have set for your vision for the year. And a vision is even higher than an intention. A vision is more like calling in, let there be light. Not only is it what I want to do this year, but why do I want to do it? For therein lies the spiritual power and the dedication that will move it forward. New Year's resolutions are about the outer appearance of things. Setting a New Year's intention is working at this level that transcends outer appearances. It's marked by movement from the invisible to the invisible instead of the other way around. And so as you set intentions, if you can do them from a place of let there be light, let my soul with its unique template bring its gifts to me, to my world, to others. I promise you will be empowered to have things happen that will absolutely amaze you. Meister Eckhart said, when the soul wishes to experience something, she throws an image of the experience out before her and then steps into it. That's what I invite you to do today. Most vision quests, they're very much a part of many spiritual traditions, and they involve going apart for a number of days. And there are different ways of doing it, but I happen to know in spirit, there's no time and space. And so you can do a mini vision quest this morning, which we'll be doing in a few minutes, where you seek what is it your soul wishes to have you be a channel for this year. And then you can set the specific intentions as to how it happens. If you begin with the vision and then move back toward where you are now, you can take that vision that right now may seem impossible and step by step realize there are just steps along the way to right where you are right now, and that this little step you could make in the right direction will help you get there. They say, how do you get to Valhalla, to heaven, to Nirvana, Shambhala? By taking a step in the right direction. So this is to help you set the greater vision and to begin to get some pieces of intention that are how that manifests. This year is going to be all about embodying spirituality. how to take that vision and literally do it on a practical day-to-day way. How do you hold on to the vision? How do you set the intention and then break the intention down into small enough pieces that you can celebrate in gratitude all the time? Because every day, if we have our eyes on our vision, we can take little steps and then large leaps toward the unfolding of that vision. The Zen Buddhists have a wonderful thing that I absolutely love. And I believe it with all of my heart that each one of us comes with a soul journey plan. I don't think it's fate. I don't think it's delineated specifically, but I think it's what you want to experience in this lifetime, what you want your focus to be on the lessons you're going to learn, on the experiences you're going to have, the people you're going to do it with. The gifts that you'll receive by going through all of these experiences. Because one of the things that I do know is that you setting your vision and intention is taking that which you've released, let it go, but let the gifts and what your soul learned remain with you. Because that is love, that is wisdom, that will stay with you. The Buddhists believe that an oak tree is brought into creation by two forces working at the same time. The acorn, the seed, holds all of the promise and potential, which is going to grow into a tree. Everyone can see that one. The acorn, oh, it wants to grow into a tree. But very few see the other force that's operating as well, which is the future tree that wants so badly to exist that it is pulling the acorn into being and into manifestation as an oak tree. It's past and it's future coming together in the present moment. You're not doing this alone. Your very soul has within it that which is the vision, the oak tree that you are growing toward, and it is calling you if you will listen. I was blessed to really get an experience where I know this is absolutely true. I've got to go to a Mary Manon Morrissey retreat at her retreat center in Oregon before it closed, and it was a conference for the evolving universal human. There were many people. Jean Houston was there. Just all these current people on the topic were there, and including Mary Manon Morrissey. And as part of this event, which was just amazing, it was a real blessing to be there, was we got to do a depth meditation at one of the workshops I chose with Mary Manon Morrissey. I've always really admired her and still do. She has been through incredible releases and embraces in her life and continues to walk with the divine. And so I went into meditation and I saw this vision of a place that I was at in the Pacific Northwest. And I could feel it. I saw my little office study with all the books and treasures in it. And I felt like there was water all around. And so I thought it was an island. I thought maybe someday I'll end up on an island in the Pacific Northwest. And so it was so clear. And at the end of the meditation, I got, this is your acorn. The tree is calling you, but this is your acorn. So keep your vision on the tree and work with the acorn. And I got home and I thought, wow, is this really going to work? Start right where you are. And I realized as I meditated, my first morning back when I got home, okay, I've got this acorn. What do I do with it? And how do I vision what it could be? And I realized we were living on Oak Forest Drive. I smiled and thought, I have no idea where this will lead me, but I've definitely got some pretty good markers that I'm going in the right direction. And so a number of years later, I came to guest speak up here. And then now I can't believe this year it'll be 20 years. I just am stunned with that. But it all began for me with that acorn. And it wasn't just me with my acorn going, okay, I want to grow. I want to share my gifts. I want to learn. I want to expand. And I want to do it with kindred souls. And I know now that at the same time, this place, this oak tree that we've created together and continue to grow together, was calling me as well. Just like I was calling all of you all were calling me because we were meant at a soul level to do this together. So start where you are right now and realize this is your moment. This is your opportunity to consciously co-create, but also to be surprised at perhaps the acorn you get this morning. But trust that the universe is supporting you past and present with what is potential and what is manifestation. And it all comes through you. And singing the song, Open Your Heart, is so important because that's where it begins. So I invite you now to do a song of embrace as you get your vision and then begin to set some intentions, knowing that the process will continue all through the year. And so let that energy begin to move through you as we do the beautiful chant, I do what gives me life. And then at the conclusion of that, you'll have some quiet time to write on your card your vision, your intentions, and be sure and put your name and address on the front of the envelope. Spirit knows where you are, but it would help us to get the card back to you if you do that. I do what gives me life.
I do what gives me life. I do what gives me life. I do what gives me life. Hey, 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 hey. I do what gives me life. I do what gives me life. I do what gives me life. Hey, hey, hey.
Of creation, I invite you to settle in this field of vibrational possibility. Let there be light for you, and may it take the forms that are uniquely those that your soul brings as gifts not only to you, but to our shared world. Take a moment now and allow yourself to be present in this moment. With possibilities, with potentials, and with unfoldings and manifestations all around. Let yourself settle in at center. Receive your guidance. And when you are complete, write them upon your card. Your vision, your intentions, surrounding them with your love and the grace of the divine. So you should have your tracing paper, that's your release, and your self-addressed envelope that is your vision and your embrace. And I'll invite you to come forward to bring those to the altar. You'll light this from the Christ candle in the center of our burning bowl to release, and you'll hand me your embrace, and I'll gather them all up on the altar where they will be blessed and then taken to the prayer chapel, our chapel of light, where they will be prayed with all during the year until Spirit tells me it's time to put stamps on them and get them back out in the mail to all of you. So as we do this, we're going to be so blessed. Ron is going to come do a special piece of music, Let Go. So I invite you to come up with at least two rows, and we can gather around here as we do our releases and do our embraces.